All right, if you have your Bible, or if you have a device on which your Bible is located, hold it up. Can we see this? Genesis chapter 3. Would you open there with me? Genesis chapter 3. This evening, I need to share with you something that is really important. Unfortunately, it's also a little bit sad. We're going to talk about what the world was like before this event that is so sad happened. And then we're going to look and see what happened after this event that is so sad and the consequences, the stuff that resulted from all of that. You're in Genesis 3, but look back with me at Genesis chapter 2. And let's start in verse 15. You know, after God finished the creation, everything that he made was absolutely perfect. In Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" All right, for those of you who have the piece of paper with the blanks, we're going to start in on those, and you'll notice the words in red go in the blanks that are red. All right? God has always had work for people to do and his law for them to obey. If we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we see that God had work for Adam to do. God created man, and then he took man and he placed him in this garden, and he tasked him to work, to tend it and to keep it. Now, I don't know, if your parents tell you to go and clean your room, that probably doesn't sound like the most fun thing that you could do today or tomorrow. You know what? Tomorrow night, I have to get all the trash, and I have to put it in that thing, that cart thing, and I have to take it all the way to the end of the driveway. Because come Tuesday morning, those guys are going to come around and collect that trash. I really don't like doing that. The trash is nasty. But it's work. It's something that we have to do. And even back in the Garden of Eden times, while I'm sure it was a little different than nasty trash, there was still work that they had to do. God has always had a job. He's always had work for people. And did you notice that God told Adam and Eve something that they were not to do? God gave them his law. He said, "You have all of these trees in all of the garden, and they all bear fruit. And you are free to go and to eat from any of the fruit of any of those trees that you would like, except for one. And that is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." See, up to this point, Adam and Eve, well, they were perfect. They didn't know anything about evil. Because God loves us, he doesn't force us to obey him. He lets us choose. Now, he wants us to choose to obey him. So for Adam and Eve, he put that tree evidently in the middle of the garden. And he told them, "Listen, your rule is this. I want you to work and tend this garden, but I also want you to not eat from that tree. Because when you do, well, you're going to introduce yourself to all sorts of things. In fact, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And that brings us to a point that I think is really important for us to consider tonight. See, when we disobey God's law, that's called sin. Sin is disobeying God's law. There are other passages in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament that spell that out. But basically, that's what sin is. To break God's law is to sin. Now, God had given Adam and Eve his law. That is his word. He had told them what he wanted them to do, and in this case, what he wanted them not to do. And he said, if you do this, you need to know there are going to be consequences. Sin always has consequences. Now, I'm going to stop here because this is a long word. And who in their right mind would give children a four-syllable word to write in a tiny little red blank on a piece of paper during a sermon? Well, I would. I'm sorry. I looked up synonyms, adults. I looked up in the thesaurus, consequences. And there's not a better word for consequences than consequences. But you can't tell me your kids don't know what consequences are. Okay. I've heard the way some of you parents talk to your children. All right. If you don't get down off of that top step, there are going to be consequences. You know about the consequences, right? If you don't quit climbing over the pews or under the pews, there are going to be consequences. Don't run around the old people. If you do, there will be consequences, right? Everywhere we turn, even in this building, there are consequences. That's what happens when you do something. Well, for Adam and Eve, God had given his law. And to break that law would be to sin. And to sin would bring consequences. To illustrate this for just a moment, I'd like to call up my lovely assistant, Caleb. Caleb is going to be our fire master of the evening. Yes, we're lighting things on fire tonight. Caleb, would you mind? I appreciate this. Now, to illustrate sin, breaking God's law, and to illustrate the consequences of that, I want us to think about the candle for a second. Now, don't try this at home, okay? Don't light candles. That's not, at least not if you're not an adult, okay? And Caleb is really questionable to even be here right now. We're putting this on the screen so you in the back will be able to see this a little better. And my thanks to the guys upstairs for helping. And Josh Wade is so excited we're lighting things on fire tonight. This is good. Just look at this flame for a second. Now, if there's anything we all know from being a really little kid, it's that you're not supposed to touch this. If you touch this, there will be consequences. In fact, if you touch it for too long, a consequence may be... Oh, that's nice too. Dimming the lights. If you touch this for too long, the consequences may be a trip to, you know, the doctor or to the hospital. We don't want consequences like that. But at the same time, when you look at it, you see how bright and shimmery it is, how beautifully it glows, the light that it gives off. You get a little close to it, maybe you feel a little bit of warmth, and there's something about that. It might be kind of neat to touch it. You can do this or do this. Would it be a good idea to touch that? It would not be a good idea to touch that. There would be consequences. And so we have rules, right? Don't touch the flame. If you touch the flame, there will be consequences. No one be alarmed, but I'm going to pop this balloon, okay? I just want you to know that's happening. If we get too close, there are consequences. Now, I've got a point that I'm going to bring up with this, but for now, you can just laugh at how much Caleb and I flinch when I pop this balloon, all right? What do you think is going to happen if we get too close to this? Nothing. The flame goes out. Because the demo did not go the way it was supposed to. Caleb, do a better job. It's the flame master. There it went. Think about some of the things that Adam and Eve did. You remember Adam and Eve. We haven't read this part in our Bibles yet. God said, you have a rule. Go ahead. Thank you. And the rule is, don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, what's going to result is something that isn't good. In fact, when you eat it, you're going to expose yourself to death, to all sorts of things that they could never have imagined. And Amos read for us a minute ago about what Eve heard and began to think about that fruit. It says, when she saw that it was good for food, so it looked kind of tasty, pleasant to the eyes, something to be desired to make you wise, she thought, I want that. So she took it and gave it. She ate it, and then she gave it to her husband Adam, and he ate it also. And when they ate of that fruit, something happened that couldn't be reversed. I want you to think about these pieces that we have here. That blue balloon just like exploded into 2.5 pieces. The orange balloon mostly intact, but it's all tattered. Can I put this back together? No. I couldn't even do it with like a sewing machine or super glue or anything else. There's nothing that I can do to put the pieces back together. What has been done remains. The Bible says, that Jesus would come along. And Jesus would make it possible for us to be remade, to be made new, and even to be filled with Him, such that, yes, we'll still be susceptible to temptation and even to sin. But when we are, well, the sin, it might blacken us a little bit, may hurt us, but it won't break us. We'll make it possible for us to be cleansed by His blood and continually cleansed. In case you can't tell, this balloon is filled with water. That's the reason why when you hold it over the candle, though I was nervous because nothing's going right tonight, it doesn't pop. I don't know if we're going to remember the point of the illustration or just the fact that Robert got up there and popped some balloons and Caleb and Robert jumped every time it happened. Thank you, Caleb, for your assistance. Adam and Eve are there in the garden. God gives them a rule. He always has had work for His people to do, and He has always had His law that He has given to His people. And He tells them, this is what I want you to do, and if you don't do this, there are going to be consequences. And the consequences of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 are in some ways irreversible, at least physically, here on this earth. But Jesus makes it possible for us to be whole again, for us to be forgiven of sin. So, enough of that. Back to Genesis chapter 3 a second. Think with me about what happens when we start in verse 1. There was a serpent, and the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. I don't know everything about this serpent. You know, this serpent is like a snake, right? Apparently this snake can talk. We'll find out later he walks upright instead of slithering around on the ground. I'd like to know some more things about this serpent, but the devil is using this serpent to communicate with Adam and Eve and to tempt them to sin. And that reminds me of something else I want our kiddos to know, that there is someone who wants us to sin, and that's the devil. The devil wants to see us broken. He wants to see us not who God wants us to be. He wants to see us damaged. The devil wants us to sin. Do you know that this word that we use, the word devil, means, this is going to be a big word, slanderer. And to slander is to speak bad about somebody, basically. The devil goes around talking bad about you. He doesn't want people to think nice things about you. He doesn't want God to think nice things about you. If he can, he's going to try to speak against you. There's another word that we sometimes use for devil, and it's the word Satan. And that term, Satan, means adversary, enemy. Satan is our enemy, and that because he wants us to fail. He doesn't want us to be right with God. And so, he wants us to sin. Look in Genesis 3, verse 2. After he said to the woman, "Did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Well, that wasn't true, was it? No. God said, "You can eat of any of the trees of the garden, except for one." Satan comes along and he says, "Did God say you can't eat of any of this stuff?" And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said we can't eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, nor touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now, was that true? No, that wasn't true. God said, the day you eat of it, you will die. And Satan says, "You won't." That reminds me of something else. Satan will tempt us to sin, first of all, by trying to make us doubt God. By trying to make us doubt God. That means to have uncertainty about things, to not know for sure. And that's what Satan wants to do, is he wants to try and make me a little confused. God was pretty clear, wasn't he? You can eat of any of these trees, but don't eat of the fruit of that tree. If you do, you will surely die. Satan comes in and he says, "Did God really say that?" And then he says, "You won't. That won't happen to you." Listen, verse 5. "God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Oh, what Satan did here was so mean and ugly. God doesn't want you to eat of that fruit because God is scared that if you eat of that fruit, then you'll know as much as he does. And God doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And that's the reason why he told you not to eat that. That's just a lie, isn't it? You see why I say that the devil is our enemy? You see why I say that the devil wants you to break God's law or sin? Because he looked right at Eve and he lied to her face. And then, after he tried to make her be a little confused, doubt God and the things that God has said, he tried to present sin as though that would be a good thing to do. See, Eve, if you eat of this fruit, then you're going to know as much as God knows. You're going to be as powerful and as strong as God is. And if you eat of this fruit, see, that's the reason why God just doesn't want you to have access to the same stuff that he has access to. He doesn't want you to have the things that he has. And so Satan tempts us to sin by first trying to make us doubt God, but also by trying to make us desire what God says is wrong. To look at something that God says, "Don't do that," and to think, "But I really want that. That's what I want to do." God had given them his law. Don't eat that fruit. Not from that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat that tree, you'll no longer be innocent like you used to be. Now you're going to realize some things about evil and sin. And you're going to introduce that into the world. And as a result, there's going to be brokenness all over the place. Satan tries to get us to sin by trying to make us doubt God and trying to get us to want things that are bad. So when the woman saw that the tree looked good and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Can I tell you a story? At my grandmother's house, on the kitchen table, she has a little basket as like a centerpiece, you know, a little decoration, and it's filled with apples. And they are the shiniest, brightest red apples you have ever seen. And they even look just like in the commercials for the grocery store, or just like what you see on TV. You know, they even have like the perfect little green leaf on the side, you know. When my parents bought apples, they never had the perfect stem and the green leaf. It was just the apple. And it was kind of reddish, greenish, yellowish, and, you know, and they'd be like, don't worry about that one little brown bruise spot. It's okay. You can still eat it, you know. And I was like, no, I don't. But the ones in the middle of my grandmother's kitchen table, they are always perfect. And you know what they told me? Don't eat those. Why? They're for decoration. See, if you bite into that apple, you're going to bite into a big old bite of wax. It's not a real apple. The reason why it looks so good is because, well, it's fake. It's just there to look pretty. And you might look at it and you might think, boy, that looks really good. And you might even, somebody might could convince you, you know what, if you eat that, you won't have to go to the doctor for months because an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? And so, you know, if you eat that apple that's in the middle of grandmother's table, wow, you will be great. But if you eat that apple, it's not going to do you any good, and especially don't swallow it, okay? Because once again, you'll go to the emergency room. I don't know. That's a theme for tonight. So what I'm noticing is this. Here's Eve, and she's listening to what the serpent says to her, and the serpent convinces her that she actually wants what God said is not something you should want. She took of the fruit and ate it. She gave it to her husband, and he ate it too. And verse 7 says, the eyes of both were opened. They suddenly realized things about themselves that they had never realized before. Suddenly, there were parts of their existence up to that point that made them feel ashamed. For example, okay, this is kind of funny if you're a kid. They were naked. Did you know that? They were walking around in the garden without clothes on, but they didn't know it. And you know why? Because sin hadn't entered the world yet. They didn't know you're supposed to wear clothes. That just wasn't a thing. It hadn't happened yet. But when they ate of that fruit, they realized they were, and you know what? They were ashamed. And they tried to get some little leaves and cover themselves up, and leaves aren't clothes. You know, that's not enough clothing. And so, you know, they're trying to hide themselves. And this is what I'm reminded of. Okay, here's the next thing in the blank. Sin is never as good as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. Those apples in the middle of my grandmother's table, they look really good. But if you bit it, you would realize that is not a good idea. It's never as good as it seems. Satan told Adam and Eve, don't you know that the only reason why God doesn't want you to eat that is because he doesn't want you to be as great as he is? But when they ate it, they did not become as great as God is. What they did instead was they created for themselves a broken relationship with God. Before, their connection with God, well, perhaps it looked more like this, whole, healthy, the way it's supposed to be. After their sin, Well, it was more like this. Tattered, worn, broken. Not what God wants. Not what they want. Sin is never as good as it seems. Verse 8, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Can you imagine that? Adam and Eve were made by God. And apparently they were used to being around God on a regular basis. But this time when they hear God coming, they're hiding. And it's not because they're playing hide and seek, okay? It's because they don't want God to see them. And so God asks them a question. Where are you? Verse 9. Where are you? Now, God knew where they were. God knows everything. He's wanting them to think about what they're doing. Why are you hiding from me? You don't need to hide from God. So Adam responded in verse 10, well, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? See, the only way that you would know to be ashamed is if sin has entered into the world, is if you've broken God's law, and that's exactly what they've done. God says, did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? See, sin is never as good as it seems. Satan said, if you eat this, oh, everything's going to be so great. You're going to be just like God. You're going to be as great as God is. That's not what happened. Satan lied to them, and he'll lie to you too. He will lie to you too. That's why it's so important for you to listen to your moms and your dads. Listen to your grandparents, your aunts, and your uncles. To listen to the people who are around here, your Bible class teachers and the elders and even that crazy preacher who pops balloons in church, because we're trying to help you to know, well, this is the true way to follow God. Satan will try and lie to you, even to you. And he shouldn't, because you're a kid. He should respect you and love you just like we do, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Sin is never as good as it seems. Look at what Adam did. Instead of saying, yeah, God, you're right, I ate it. He says, the woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. It's not my fault, it's her fault. Does anybody in here have a sibling, a brother or sister? All right, and has anybody ever had a parent ask you, what did you do? And you said, it wasn't me, it was them. You ever done that? It's not my fault. And that's exactly what Adam does. It's not my fault. It's her fault. And by the way, God, you gave her to me. And then he went to the woman, and the woman said, it's that serpent. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. And it's true, the serpent did deceive Eve. And it's true, Eve did take the fruit and give it to Adam. But at the end of it, they both had to admit, I ate it. I did it. I broke your law. I shouldn't have, but I did. I ate it. And so God begins to pronounce curses. That just means bad consequences, things that are going to happen now that sin is in the world. So, you ever gone out in your yard and you see like weeds, and some of them are like thorns and thistles? Jerry Hesselrode never has thorns and thistles, and Breck doesn't either, but the rest of us know what that's like, to have the thorns and the thistles in our grass. Have you ever reached to maybe tug on a vine or something? Ow! There was a thorn on that thing, and it hurts. Do you know why that happens? Really, it's because sin is in the world. Because our world is broken now. It's not what God originally designed it to be. And because of that, you can get sick. Some of us have been sick recently. That's no fun. And because of that, we have tears and sadness. And yeah, even death. And all of that is because Satan lied to Adam and Eve and made them want what God said they should not desire. But if this were a normal story, I guess that would be all. Bad ending. God made this perfect world, and Adam and Eve came along and messed it up, and that was that. The good news is, and this is where we have to end for tonight, even though we sin, God never stops loving us. God never stops loving us. Adam and Eve's relationship with God was broken. And yet right here, to Adam and Eve, and specifically to Eve, God says, Eve, one day from your children is going to come one who is going to rise up, and he's going to go against this serpent, Satan, the devil. And the devil's going to try and battle against him, and he's going to bruise him on the heel. You know, the bottom part of your foot. He's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt his heel. But Eve, this one who's coming after you, you know, your child's 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 child, your great, 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 and even more than that, great grandson is going to come, and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. Do you know what that means? God told Adam and Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden, right after they had destroyed their relationship with him, that he was going to make a way where ultimately he would win over the devil. And he would bring his people back to him. And that's a message about Jesus. Do you know that all the way in Genesis chapter 3, God told Adam and Eve, right after the very first sin, that he already had a plan for God himself, Jesus the Christ, to come, to die on that cross for the sins of people. Well, that is the story of the fall. By that we mean the fall of mankind to sin. Adam and Eve sinned. They broke God's law. But God never stops loving us, even when we mess things up. Sure, our relationship with God can be broken. Yeah. We can mess that up, and our sins do. But God makes it possible through Jesus for us to be born again, for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be made whole, and to be covered by His blood. Don't you love how when you get down to simple things like we've tried to do tonight for this sermon for our kiddos, it just reinforces the beauty of the message of the gospel. Something that we have referred to as a story, not because it's made up or fictional, but just because it is woven into the very fabric of who we are and why we're here tonight. If there's someone this evening who, hearing this message, is realizing, you know what? My life has been affected by sin. Well, really, all of ours has. And my relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. Then this gospel message is for you as much as it is for any of the rest of us. If you'd like to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to assist you with that tonight. If you need to come and ask for prayers for strength and encouragement, we'd be so honored to lift your name before God's throne. Can we help somebody tonight? Come to the front while we